Section 3, the American Revolution and the last decades of Spanish rule. As you read, look for the causes and outcome of the American Revolution, the role of Spain and the heroic deeds of Galvez in the American Revolution, growing appreciation for Governor Esteban Miro, troubled times in the governorship of the Baron de Carondelet, terms, American Revolution, Treaty of Paris of 1783, Articles of Confederation, Jeune de Colère Libre. Besides leading to the loss of the Louisiana colony for France, the French and Indian War took a huge economic toll on all of the nations involved. When the war ended in 1763, the British were left with a large debt. The British government had spent a lot of money protecting their North American colonies. Therefore, they thought that the colonists themselves should be responsible for paying much of this debt through a series of new taxes: paper, letters, stamps, correspondence, and many varieties of trade goods were assigned new or higher taxes. The colonists were particularly troubled by a British attempt to better control the trade in tea, one of their favorite beverages. They were also upset in general by the idea that there was taxation without representation in the British Parliament or governing body. British King George III refused even to consider the colonists' grievances. Tensions continued to rise in the late 1760s and 1770s. In March 1770, British soldiers fired on a group of unruly protesters in Boston, in a conflict known as the Boston Massacre. In 1775, British soldiers and American colonists engaged in the first formal battles of the American Revolution, the war in which the American colonists fought for their independence from Great Britain. These battles took place in the Massachusetts towns of Lexington and Concord. Seeing no alternative to warfare, the colonists declared independence from Great Britain on July 4, 1776. The American Revolution was a long and bloody struggle, and victory was not assured. 7 years of fighting took place before the British and their former colonies made peace in 1783. This agreement was known as the Treaty of Paris of 1783. The colonies unite. Even before the war was over, the rebellious colonies had agreed on a form of government called the Articles of Confederation. This arrangement lasted between 1781 and 1787, but some leaders felt the Articles did not provide for a powerful enough central government. Thus, in March 1787, delegates gathered in Philadelphia to form a convention to debate the Articles. This convention ultimately decided to form a new kind of central government. The Constitutional Convention, as it came to be known, worked diligently and in secret through September 1787. After months of work and debate, members of the convention developed a new form of government described in the document called the United States Constitution. Enough of the colonies agreed to the new constitution to conform its ratification in 1788, and it went into effect on March 4, 1789. It would be another 23 years before Louisiana officially became a U.S. state, and therefore subject to the terms of the Constitution. Spain in the American Revolution. Governor Galvez's military accomplishments were even more impressive than his administrative successes. The Spanish were slow to enter the fighting in the American Revolution, but Galvez did take certain steps that provided advantages to the rebel colonists. First, he made it possible for representatives of the Continental Army to buy supplies at the Spanish port of New Orleans. Much of this activity was undertaken in covert, covered secret ways. However, when Spain formally declared war on England in 1779, Spanish support for the rebel British colonies became more open. Over the next 2 years, Galvez led a series of military actions against British outposts in the territory of West Florida. He first led attacks on the British outposts in Fort at Manchac and then Baton Rouge. He was able to take control of both areas quickly. Galvez then turned his attention to British forts on the Gulf Coast, attacking and taking control of the fort at Mobile in 1780. After the capture of Mobile, Pensacola was the largest British fort left in West Florida. Galvez led two campaigns to capture it. The first effort was disrupted by a hurricane in the Gulf. Undaunted, not discouraged, Galvez returned to Cuba and reorganized a second expedition that began in the spring of 1781. It was on this mission that the governor and general achieved his most lasting fame. Galvez needed to get close enough to bombard the British forts from the shipboard cannons and allow his soldiers to go ashore. He ordered the ships in his fleet to cross over a sandbar and sail into Pensacola Bay. The ship's commanders were reluctant to follow his orders because they feared running aground on the sandbar. To prove them wrong, Galvez took control of the lead ship and sailed it successfully across the bar and into the bay. It was at this moment that he reportedly proclaimed, "Yo solo, I alone." After this important victory, Galvez's fame as a Spanish military hero was assured. Later, he received royal permission to add his trademark phrase, "Yo solo," to his personal coat of arms. After his military victories over the British, Galvez returned to his duties in New Orleans. In 1785, he was appointed to the high-ranking post of Viceroy of New Spain. In that year, a new Louisiana governor was appointed, and Galvez traveled to Mexico City to undertake his new duties. The hero of Pensacola died the following year at the age of 40 from a mosquito-borne infection. Although his life was relatively short, he accomplished a great deal, including a successful term as governor of a growing and increasingly economically vital colony. Governor Miro. Esteban Miro had gained considerable experience governing Louisiana while Galvez was away fighting the British. In fact, Miro served as temporary governor for much of the period between 1780 and 1784. He was officially appointed governor of Louisiana in 1785 when Galvez left for Mexico. By this time, New Orleans had become a thriving but disorderly city of more than 5,000 people. New regulations. Miro set about trying to better regulate a city that had already established a reputation for pleasure-seeking and rowdiness. In 1786, he announced a series of orders that were called Miro's Bando de Buen Gobierno, Miro's Proclamation for Good Government. He sought to better monitor the city's taverns and gambling establishments. He also tried to discourage trade on Sundays so more of the city's inhabitants would attend Mass. He ordered that no one leave or enter the city without reporting to the governor's office and receiving permission. Many people resented the new regulations, and some simply ignored what they saw as intrusions on their rights. More tolerant slave laws. In the area of slave law, Miro established new rules that affected both slaves and their masters. Under the French Code Noir, Black Code, masters were given virtually complete legal authority over their slaves. Spanish slave law respected the rights of slave owners, but also gave slaves the right to complain to the cabildo about poor treatment. Miro also instituted the Spanish practice of coercion, self-purchase for slaves. Under this system, slaves could accumulate money and property. If they earned enough, they could even buy their own freedom. If their master did not wish to sell the slave or set a price, the slave could appeal to Spanish authorities and have a price set. These more liberal slave laws upset many slave owners. On plantations outside the city, many French-descended planters simply ignored Spanish law and continued to rely on the French Black Code. In the city of New Orleans, however, Spanish slave laws had more influence. One result is that, during the Spanish period, the population of freed slaves, called gens de couleur libre, free people of color, became so numerous that they started to constitute a distinct community and develop their own culture. A devastating fire. Despite his early unpopularity, Miro became a widely admired leader in New Orleans after a devastating citywide fire in 1788. On Good Friday of that year, a resident of the city lit candles in his home chapel. His home caught fire, and the flames spread quickly across the compact city's many wooden structures. By the time the fire burned out, nearly 80% of the city's buildings had been destroyed. In a report to his superiors in Havana, Miro wrote, "It is a difficult task to decide which has caused the most sorrow, whether the destruction of the city or the pitiful situation of all of its inhabitants." The governor immediately set out to aid the citizens who had lost everything they owned. In the years that followed, he also worked closely and effectively with the colony's intendant, financial officer, Martin Navarro. Such close cooperation between colonial officials, which was so essential to rebuilding the city, had been rare during the French colonial period. According to one historian, Miro had the longest and most effective tenure of the colony's Spanish governors, encouraging Anglo migration. Outside New Orleans, Miro also sought to increase the population in the colony's outposts. In particular, he is credited with encouraging immigration of British or British-descended colonists called Anglos, who came from the territories of the United States. These colonists were quite different from many of Louisiana's longtime inhabitants. Most of them spoke English rather than French or Spanish, and many identified with religions other than Catholicism. To entice them to settle in Louisiana's northern and western frontiers, the Spanish government offered grants of land. In return, the Anglo immigrants had to swear loyalty to the Spanish king and agree to refrain from practicing or proclaiming any religion other than Catholicism. What began as a slow trickle of Anglo-American settlers in the late 1780s turned into a flood of hundreds and then thousands in the decades that followed. In time, their presence would contribute to a shift away from Spanish control. Governor Carondelet. Francisco Louis Hector, the Baron de Carondelet, became governor of Louisiana in 1791 when Miro returned to Spain. Carondelet had a military background, but only 2 years of administrative experience when he took over the governorship. In New Orleans, Carondelet is credited with creating a system of oil-lit lamps that provided the city with light and increased safety after dark. He also oversaw the construction of a canal that connected the heart of the city with Bayou St. John. This provided an additional route into the city by way of Lake Pontchartrain. Revolutions in France and Saint-Domingue. Despite his industriousness, Carondelet oversaw Louisiana during a time of great unrest. In 1789, the French Revolution began. Common people rose up against their king and the nobility, claiming liberty, equality, and fraternity for all men. Despite its worthy aims, the revolution quickly turned bloody and led to thousands of executions, including those of King Louis XVI and Queen Marie Antoinette. The French Revolution also led to unrest in Louisiana. The Spanish king was understandably worried about events in neighboring France. Governor Carondelet understood and sympathized with these fears and closely monitored the colony's population for signs of unrest. He suppressed any open support for the French Revolution, outlawed revolutionary clubs, and even banned the singing of songs associated with the revolution. Carondelet kept a lid on revolutionary sentiments in Louisiana, but the nearby French colonial island of Saint-Domingue followed France into a period of violent revolution. Slaves on the island, who far outnumbered the island's whites and free people of color, broke out into open revolt in 1791. Decades of fighting followed. In the early years, many whites and free people of color fled the island and the violence. Thousands of them came to Louisiana. Many of the refugees brought their slaves with them. A slave conspiracy. In 1795, rumors of a slave conspiracy in Pointe-Coupee Parish reached New Orleans. Through slave informers, officials were told of a planned revolt centered on the plantation of the prominent colonist Julien Poydras. Wasting no time, Carondelet led an investigation of the slaves' conspirators and their free supporters. The inquiry resulted in 60 convictions. 23 of the slave conspirators were sentenced to be hanged. After their deaths, their heads were severed from their bodies and placed on pikes, or spikes, along the river road to serve as a warning to other slaves who might have similar ideas. Historians have debated whether or not the revolutions in France and Saint-Domingue had some role in encouraging slaves to plan a revolt in 1795. There is no clear evidence that this was the case. What is clear is that Governor Carondelet governed Louisiana during a period of great difficulty and unrest. Final Spanish governors. The last two Spanish governors of Louisiana served shorter terms and played less prominent roles in the colony. Manuel Gajoso de Lemos was named governor in 1797, but died in office in 1799. Manuel Juan de Salcedo was appointed governor 2 years later and served until 1803. Those years saw both growth and challenges. Some of those challenges would lead to dramatic changes in Louisiana's administration. In the meantime, the different groups of people who came to Louisiana during the Spanish period also contributed to a changed Louisiana.